You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Art of Not Getting Hit, Part 3. Counterattack, When Defense Becomes Offense. In Part 1 of The Art of Not Getting Hit, I discussed passive defense against striking attacks. In Part 2, I discussed active defense, which is the three-step process of seeing the attack coming, selecting an appropriate defensive technique, and then executing it. This week, I will discuss how, at a high level, you must be offensive-minded in your defense. When I was in the earlier days of building my own striking game, I was very defensive-minded. I was still, at that point, strongly influenced by the rule set of tournament point fighting, where it is death to allow your opponent to score. Then I got to know my good friend and boxing coach, Kevin Young. Kevin is a good friend, a constant irritant, a great boxer, and one of the toughest human beings I've ever met. One day as we were sparring, he said to me, "Jeff, you've got a great offense. Why don't you use some of it?" Kevin was exaggerating a bit to make a point. I had such respect for his boxing ability and punching power that I was spending more physical and mental effort on not being hit than I was on hitting him. He elaborated, "You've also got really good defensive footwork. I'm not able to score on you nearly as often as I'd like. But despite your efforts, I'm still hitting you some, right?" "Yeah, you sure are, you bastard," I replied. "Well, if I'm going to hit you anyway," he continued, "you might as well get you some and hit me back." Kevin's profound common sense and wisdom worked its way into my brain and passed all the rationalizations and logical fallacies that it erected. Yeah, you're right," was my brilliant reply. Part of my problem at that time was structural. When you give more emphasis to defense than offense, your stance and footwork reflect it. If you watch point fighting, you'll notice that most of the competitors spend the majority of their time bouncing on the balls of their feet. This makes it easy for them to react to sudden attacks and to move in order to augment that defense. What this type of dancing does not facilitate is power hitting, which, to be fair, is not truly required in point fighting, despite what they might say. If you watch high-quality boxers or kickboxers, they will spend some time bouncing on the balls of their feet. But if you watch carefully, you'll notice that most of this dancing is done when outside of the opponent's reach, when maneuvering for position within the ring, like avoiding the corners. When the opponent is in striking range, you'll notice that their bouncing will be less frequent or cease altogether, and their structure will change, shifting to one with a lower center of gravity, with at least one of the feet flat on the ground most of the time. Their movement in this mode will consist mostly of shuffling, pivoting, constantly adjusting while maintaining a solid base for striking. Making this simple adjustment went a long way towards improving my striking game. I began landing many more solid strikes, and I still had my highly trained eye for defense. It was simply necessary to use more subtle defensive tactics that didn't take me out of my solid base. This change brought the boxing part of my striking game nearly up to the level of my kicking. Another element of making my defense more offensive was to use my higher thought processes for offense and allow my defense to work at a more subconscious level. A big part of this process consisted of thinking of my defense as a means to facilitate counterattacking, and then prioritize my various techniques for counterattack into a hierarchy of timing. This hierarchy has to do with when your countering strike is meant to hit the opponent in relation to when his strike was meant to hit you. The timing for your strike can be before your opponent's strike, during it, or after. The prioritization is simple. The earlier, the better. It's important to remember, though, and keeping in mind our emphasis on being offensive-minded, that it's still better to hit the bad guy late rather than not hit him at all. Let's go in order of preference. The first and most preferred option is to counter the opponent's attack before the moment it would have landed. How is that possible? Does it involve an arduous, spiritual, quasi-magical process using meditation and breathing exercises to help you cultivate your magical internal energy, your chi, so effectively that you sense the opponent's intentions? Of course not. The truth is that as your experience, awareness, and skill grows, you grow increasingly better able to use your eyes and ears to detect the subtle physical cues, the tells, if you will, through which many opponents unwittingly signal to you that an attack is coming. When you see such cues, that's a perfect moment to throw your own attack. It can effectively shut down the opponent's attack, if you time it right, thus acting as a defense, while giving you an extra chance to land a decisive blow. A very simple example of this would be when the opponent obviously begins to load up a wide, looping right hook punch. While potentially powerful, such a punch is easy to see coming and ridiculously easy to counter. Assuming that you are in a solid-based structure that is aimed correctly, simply crack a sharp left jab to the opponent's chin. If you time and execute this simple technique correctly, your opponent's haymaker cannot possibly land. Well, unless he's over 7 feet tall. This is because his head is attached to his body, and when your jab suddenly and violently stops his head from moving forward, it will change the trajectory of his punch so that it flails harmlessly between the two of you. Boom! Defense within offense. Elegant and brutally efficient. No wonder this type of counterattack is at the top of the priority list. Instead of simply giving away his intention through tells, like he did with his ill-advised haymaker, it may also be the case that your opponent is engaged in what fencing calls the preparation for a compound attack. The preparation may be a feint, or it may be some other sort of setup. But as a fencing coach once famously said, no one was ever hit by a preparation. If you can tell that it is indeed a preparation, most probably a feint, then during the preparation is an excellent time to fire an attack. Fencing calls this a stop hit. The stop hit was the inspiration for Bruce Lee when he decided to call his martial philosophy Jeet Kune Do, or the way of the intercepting fist. To stop hit is to intercept, or counter the opponent's attack before it finishes developing. Again, this is the timing that should be your top priority when thinking offensively in your defense. It's also a good reason to work really hard on making your own feints look very real so that you won't be easy meat for the stop hit. The next timing down on the priority list is to counter the opponent's attack during its execution. There are at least two ways to do this. To me, the simplest is to evade the attack in a way that leaves you in range while simultaneously firing your own attack, preferably a type of attack that can take advantage of the momentum generated by your evasive movement. Evading, rather than deflecting or shielding, is better for this task because it leaves your limbs free to fire your counterattack. A classic example of this is the Muay Thai cut kick, in which, as the opponent is throwing a high round kick or high spinning kick, you sidestep while ducking a bit and simultaneously throw your own round kick to the opponent's supporting leg. Another way of countering during the opponent's attack is done in Wing Chun Kung Fu and is called Lin Sil Da, which I'm told means simultaneous defense and attack. This method involves deflecting the attack with one limb while attacking with another. While possible, many people find this extremely difficult to time effectively. Moving down the priority list of timings for countering, we come to the moment after the opponent's attack. Again, there are at least two ways this can happen. The desirable way is to defend the attack, either by evading, deflecting, or shielding, and then fire your counterattack. The less desirable way happens when you eat the attack, because your defense failed. If you're not incapacitated by the strike, and still have the base, balance, orientation, and the presence of mind to do so, you should immediately strike back at the opponent. I grant that hitting the opponent after he has succeeded in hitting you is not an elegant or efficient fight plan, but sometimes you need to improvise, and it sure beats not hitting back. Remember, the best defense is to finish the fight, and if your philosophy is that of offensive defense, well then nobody gets to hit you for free. Well, that's about it. We've now come full circle in this discussion of the art of not getting hit, through defense to counter offense. Now go train. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.